Ja.
Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to resume our limud of Keser Shem Tov. All of Chassidus is built from these short mamarim that were received by the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, primarily the Taldas, not only but primarily the Taldas Yaakov Yosef. And in particular, this Torah that we're up to now, on page 90, Chav Ches, Ois Chav Ches, Torah of Hachnor, Havdol, and Hamtoker. This is a Torah that is really a tremendous, tremendous Yisod, in all Torahs of Chassidus, the whole Derech HaBaal Shem Tov. And we're going to be seeing this throughout the Sefer, these three stages in all of Avodas Hashem, and everything that life is about. There are three stages, which the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh explains here a little bit, and as we go through the Sefer, we'll see more about this. So, Noidim HaShekosu B'Sefer Eschaim, Inyan Mitzvahs Amila V'Chashmal. It is known what is found in the Eitz Chaim from the Ari HaKadosh regarding the mitzvah of Bris Milah and Chashmal. Now, Chashmal in modern Hebrew is used to mean electricity. But Chashmal, of course, in Tanakh is much more mysterious than electricity that we're familiar with, than that physical Mitzvahs of electricity. What is this chashmal? So let's just look a little bit to inside the perush. There's a little bit of hakdama. Noidim hashekosu b'sefer eschaim inyan mitzvahs amila v'chashmal. Bechinas chashmal. Now where do we find this chashmal? It's muskeres b'merkeves yicheskel. In the Nevuah of Yechezkel, at the beginning, in the Nevuah, it says, V'noigeloi soviv, umitoicha ke'ein hachashmal. There was a noga, there was some sort of an or, a light, that surrounded it, the chariot, the Merkava, umitoicha, and within it, ke'ein hachashmal. Ke'ein, something like the chashmal. What is that Ke'ein HaChashmal? Hi HaLevush V'HaHester Sheyesh Al HaOr Eloki Ba'Olam. The Arizal explains that this Chashmal is the Levush, is the garment that conceals the Or of Elokus from flooding into this world. V'hi makar klipas noga, and this is the makar of what is known as the klipas noga, that shell, that husk of noga, as it says, v'noga lois aviv, sh'mimena noivim inyani ha'ilam hazeh ha'gashmiyim, sh'behem ha'toiv mustar u'mu'urav b'soy chara. Those who have learned Tanya are familiar with klipas noga. This is a world of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. And the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra means that of course everything is Elokus, everything is God, everything is Elokus, but the Elokus is enveloped, is surrounded by an encasement that conceals and that covers the obvious presence of God. And all of this took place, of course, by means of the Tzimtzum, of how the world, how all was created. V'noigeloi soviv, and that klipas noga means that physical reality itself can go either way. Physical reality can either be a means of uncovering the Borei Olam, the Creator, or it could be a way of concealing him completely and distancing a person altogether from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a Noigeloi Soviv, this lavush, this garment, that makes it possible for us to have free choice and makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives something which we have to work very, very hard to experience, to come into contact with. This lavush, this garment that creates a reality of tov and ra is chashmal. V'zui ha'or la haruchanis. V'zui ha'or la haruchanis. And this is the same way that physically the body, the bris kodesh, is covered with the orla, that the bris of the man is covered with the orla, that levush that conceals the bris kodesh, so too there's an orla ruchanis, there's a spiritual orla, there's a covering. There's a covering, kisui hamastir umaynea, it says galas hoho erlokip arlam. There's a kisui that's a covering that prevents the revelation in a clear and open way of Hashem's light in this world. Let's look at footnotes 6 and 7. This will make it easier for us to learn this Torah. 6. Klemer. Ein hig misug aklipas atmeis legamri, shein behem toif klal. Again, those who learned Tanya know that the klipas, that there are klipas that are atmeis legamri, there are klipas that are entirely impure, that are completely impure. Shein behem toif klal, that contain no tov at all. Shein behem toif klal. But the klipas noga is not that. Klipas noga is kesh bagam toif. The klipas noga is not entirely tame, but rather it's toiv and ra. Elishu mustar ubulti nikar. So it's like that with everything in the world. Anything, something that's osir, something that's tame, something that's treif, something that's anavela, something that's forbidden, that's osir according to the Torah. So that is part of that world of the klipas tmeis legamre, of the klipas atmeis, of the impure klipas. Mashenikain, things that are not tamei or not osur. Osur, as the Tanya explains, is a lotion of like a prison, right? Beis asurim. A prison is called beis asurim. Matir asurim. In the morning you say the brocha, that Hashem releases us from the prison of sleep and so on. Matir asurim. That our organs, our limbs are able to move, to function, and so on. So, Isser is something which, Isser, meaning that which is prohibited by the Torah, is from that world of the Klipas Atmeis, it's imprisoned in the Klipas Atmeis. Now, how that, can that prison ever be opened? Can something, is there anything that can be done to return even those parts of reality to Elokus? That's a discussion, that's something that the Tanya talks about. But as far as what we're learning right now, the Klipas Noga is not from that world of Isser. So a cup of water can go either way. It could either be something which, through the bracha, and through being focused on the presence of God, is something which leads one closer and closer to Hashem, to that or of Elokus. If, on the other hand, the person has no thought of God and is bechlal oblivious to the presence of God in the cup of water, and the bracha is either not said or it's said without any thought or intent, so then that water is taken into the side of Ra. It's Tov and Ra. It's a teruvus of tov and ra, of good and potential good and potential evil, and all divirishus, all things that are not obligatory, that are not forbidden by the Torah, but are divirishus. This world is surrounded by that noga, by that levush of chashmal, of the klipa of tov and ra. Where Hashem's presence is hidden and not recognizable, and it's necessary to remove that klipa, to perform a type of a bris, to cut away that concealment. All of life is a person is walking around with a chalif like a mile, and you cut off the klipa, you cut off the orla from that moment that you're in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. I mean, that's the avodah, that's our avodah in this world. A Tani Perek Zayin, of course, to review, to look over Tani Perek Zayin. 7. B'Kisvei Arizal Sham, Mavua, in the Kisvei Arizal, it's explained, Shaha'oisius Mal. So we have the word Chashmal is Chash and Mal. Now Mal sounds like Mila, right? Mal sounds like Mila. So what is this chashmal? So over there in the Kisari, Shaosius Mal Kishila Atzman Roimzais La Iris Helokim Hagluyim Shvemidis Ahalyanis. The Arizal explains that Mal is alluding to that part of the word of chashmal. Mal is alluding to the iris of Elokus when they're uncovered and revealed, like through the Bris Milah, that the Kedusha is revealed. So Mal, the Isis Mal, Memlam, Kishil Atzman, Roimizos La Urvis Elokim, Hagluim Shevimidis El Yonis, Hamadregish La Malam, Hester Klippas Noga, which is higher than concealment and the whole Klippa of Hester Noga, because the Klippa is then opened, it's cut open. Mal, Mila. Vamila Chashmal. Chash is a lotion of Mehiris. Now Chash is a lotion of hurrying, of something moving quickly. Chash. Moir al-Kach, so this combination, the word Chash has many levushim, lochush, chush, to sense something, to be fearful or suspicious or to be concerned with. It all has to do with something in a state of motion, of movement. Choshen is loshen of mehiras. Moir al kach shemitzada hester shal yidei b'chinas chashmal. So we have this word chashmal. And that part of the word chash, the Arizal says, is referring to Mor al kach shemitzad ha-hester shal yidei b'chinas chashmal ha-orla klipas noga nechezes sham machmas avoynis v'yonekes sham me'elu. Oiris ha-magulim shemira ha-klipa l'kabel min ha-or mal. This combination of chashmal means that as a result of our ignoring Elokos, of our remaining oblivious to it, not engaging in the search for Elokos, that ha'orla klipas noga nechezesha, that the orla, the covering, that creates that klipas noga, that shell, that mask, that veil, is nechezasham, machmas avaynis. It's nechezes because of our ignoring elokus, and of course because of our avayus, our sins. The yonekes shem me'elu, and it's able to draw energy me'elu, iris hamagulim, from the iris that of elokus. Shemira haklipa lekabel min ha'or, and the klipa can quickly draw life and sustenance from that or as a result of our averus, our ignoring elokus. So everything is chashmal. Everything is chashmal. Rei lohalim bifnim. Chash is also a lashon of shtika. Chash, we find, is a lashon of shtika. The Chazal are talking about by the Malachim in the Ma'aseh Merkava, that the Chash Mal is also from the word Mila, Mal, to speak. Chash is a lashon also of silence. Shtika. Chash means concealment. Shtika means when things are not spoken, when something is being covered. Chash. It's also the nevchush and chash, when something is not clear, it's not revealed, it's not open. And mal is a lashon of dibur. Mal means mila, it means opening up and cutting away. And it also means to speak. Speaking is gilui. There's something on my mind. If I don't express it, then it's in a state of hester, right? From others. Through dibur, through speech, I make my thoughts known to others. So again, the word chashmal contains or expresses that paradox of silence and speech, of concealment and revelation. And that's the klipas noga, that levush, where anything can either go, it can either go towards the toiv of the Eitz Hadas toiv, and express elokus and speak of God, or it could be a way of silencing Hashem in this world, a way of concealment, the opposite of revelation. So Rei Lohalim Bifnim, Shechash Hulashon Shtika, Omal Hulashon Dibur. Abasifrei Chassidus Mavur Al Yisayit Zeh, Shechashmal Koach Ruchani HaMashalif Hester V'Gilui. So Chashmal is this spiritual Koach that's Mashalev, that brings together these two Koaches of Hester and Gilui, of concealment and revelation. Kimichad zeu levush hamaster al or hamidis al yonis. Because on the one hand, chashmal is a garment that conceals, that covers the light of the higher midas, of the higher spheres of Hashem, of the or of Hashem. Ava mi'idach hu ma'avsheh gilui shel ha'or. But on the other hand, it also allows for a revelation of that or, but ofer mitzumtzum, in a constricted way. Barlam tachton yoser. So it covers it and it conceals. On the other hand, it makes it possible that there should be a revelation that it should reveal. Because where Hashem's light to be completely revealed, then there would be no greater concealment. Because if Hashem's light were to be completely revealed, we wouldn't be able to bear it at all. We wouldn't be able to see anything or to experience Elokus at all. We wouldn't be able to exist. So it's a filter. It's a type of a filter, this chashmal. It's a type of a filter. One either takes note of the hester aspect of it, in which case he remains distant from the light of Hashem, or he takes note of the or of Hashem that is being filtered through this distilling process that's called chashmal. Shebechdei she'iru v'yispashtu lahachyas nevroim bali gvul, that in order that Hashem's infinite light should be able to illuminate all worlds and to give life to all that exists, because everything that exists is Ba'al Gvul. All that exists is finite. And God's light is infinite. So there has to be a filter. There has to be some way to block that light. But the blocking of the light is itself a way of revealing the light. Only by its being blocked and filtered can there be a revelation that is bearable, that can lead to creation and the hispashtus of Hashem's light. It's not possible that the light of Elokus should be completely unleashed, should be without any filter. It can't be. Because creation cannot bear such light. You've all learned about this. And all of creation would disappear, would be misbattle altogether. Zulasi ki amatzel yisbarach ha-bilti bal gvul ha-bilti bal tachlis himsi lahan b'chinis levush t'chashmal. So Hashem created this mechanism of chashmal. What's the loimer? Koach ruchani, this spiritual energy, asher b'dilug ha-erech mehem, from the Midas Elyon is Kviyash HaYuchel on the Nevi'im says, where there is this filter of that infinite light of God that allows enough light in to find God. You have to work for that. But it allows enough light in to have a kesher, to have a relationship with God, to see Him in everything. But on the other hand, it doesn't allow for a flood of Elokus that would make it impossible for us to experience, to exist at all. Let's just finish this. Ubo yis'alim shefa hamidus. Because that would cause a disappearance of Elokus. Val yodo yikablu an nefroim shefa midos of Yisbarach mamash. And through the chashmal, through the silence and the speech. Chash is silence. Like the malachim chashais are silent. Like the word, it's connected also to the word Chash, when a person has a concern that he doesn't express, Chash, there's something that he's worried about that's on his mind. So there's this silence of Chash, and there's the Gilui, the revelation of Mal, which means Mila, Dibur, Bris Mila, with his Gilui, with his revelation of Elokus. The Shorosh of course is very, very exalted and very high. From where does it come, this chashmal? Where does it come from? It has to come from someplace that's higher, that's in control. In order to be able to prevent that shefa, that infinite light, from flooding into creation and actually destroying creation, there needs to be the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's coming from a higher place, from a place that's bilti ba'gvul or bilti ba'tachlis, that's infinite, HaKol Yochel. Hashem can do everything, therefore he's controlling the all of this. So perish chash mal, and that's the meaning of chash mal. Mitzad shor sholomala shuv madreges amarchen chachman nekwa chash. Mitzad the shorish that is higher, that comes from chachman, that comes from a very, very high place. It's called chash. There needs to be silent. Loshen shtika. Kisyag l'choch m'shtika. As he says in the Mishnah. A fence around chochma is shtika. Now, the Mishnah, of course, it means something else. But siyag l'choch m'shtika here means that God, kivyochel Hashem, must silence himself in order to allow for existence. You understand what that means? That Hashem silences himself. He conceals himself. He hides himself. That comes from a very, very high place. Machmas Hashras or Ein Soiv Shabba. Shalafanim is Batlam HaKol, because if the infinite light of Hashem would be openly revealed, if that Chachma would be exposed and revealed, nothing could exist. Umitzad Yiridos Olamata, Umitzad is descent into our lives that we could experience and have a relationship with God, Nikra Mal. It's called Mal. Mal is a word. Amila, mal is bris, to expose, to uncover. So that border that filters, that distills, is called chashmal. Lashon ruach mamalala, the word mal, it's from this parasha, the Targum says, v'yihi hodom l'nefesh chaya, Hashem created man, and nefesh chayah, so the Targum translates ruach memalala. A human being is defined as a speaking creature. Speaking. The word mal is mila, memalala, which means to speak, to communicate. So on the one hand, Hashem is hidden in silence, and on the other hand, he communicates with us. But it's only because he's hidden can there be any communication. And that's chashmal. Mal means the Oisis, the letters, it means communication, through which Hashem's light can descend into our lives and we can make sense out of it. Because this is a tiny, tiny little drop in a huge ocean of what Chashmal is, but an introduction to it that's needed in order for us to be able to try to understand at our level what the Baal Shem Tov is saying over here. So let's go back on top. Moshe, would
you? Like you said before, that a person has to take note of the way that Chashmal works to reveal.
To what?
A person has to take note the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with Chashmal to reveal the Elokus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending in the world. But Lehefer, doesn't a person also have to take note of the concealment so he doesn't go to places, doesn't try to go to places where he shouldn't be?
Sure.
I mean, it's you're walking the
golden. Oh, it's in everything. Path. It's in everything in life. If you look at this farm, there's one of the greatest teachers of Chabad Hasidus in our generation is Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg. Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's farm, half of what he talks about is this inyan of chashmal in every aspect of life, and that's what the Baal Shem Tov is wanting to talk about. Also, you're 100% right. It's everything that's the whole Torah of Hasidus is that the Arizal was talking about what's going on in the olamis, you know, in the worlds. But how does that play out in our lives? That's the work of the Baal Shem Tov. The Arizal didn't go there. He only alluded to it, hinted to. What the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh did was he took the teachings of the Arizal and he brought them into our lives to understand in every aspect of life and how we, in our psychology, in our physical lives. It's all chashma. It's all about chashma, because that's the definition of our existence. We're living in that klipa of chashma.
So before Adam and Chav ate from the Eitz Hadas, was there no klipa of chashma? Was that introduced by that time when they?
That was set into motion with creation itself before Adam and Chav. And how that, you know, what happened with Adam and Chav? The Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra is that what the Svarim explains, that Adam Rishon wanted to take a journey into that side of Ra in order to be able to redeem the Elokus, to bring out the Elokus, which is a noble thing to aspire to.
It's only possible with Chashma.
Right. It can't be if there would be no Chashma. So it had to be, it was before. And that and the sherish, the root of Adam Arishan's mistake, on his madrega, his mistake is due to this reality, this dual reality of Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. What's the Eitz Chaim? That's what we're not going to go into all of that right now. That's That's tonight. That's the Parsha Shavuot. We cover all that. We cover all that tonight after the Suda. So the Roshantur says, "Noi the Masha Kosev b'Sefer Yitzchayim in Yemitzus Amilu v'Chashma." Back on top. V'nirli lahalbish hadvarim. That's what the Baal Shem Tov does. V'nirli lahalbish hadvarim. The Baal Shem Tov wants to enclose these very, very esoteric and mysterious concepts. And I shouldn't say the word concepts. This mitzias that the Arizal is describing. Because through the description of the Arizal, just we're not quite sure what to make of all of this. We hear the words, but we're not quite sure how all of this plays out in our lives. But that's what the Baal Shem Tov does. L'halbish advar, to enclose these things. To make them usable. Shezeh shayach ben b'toy ben b'tfila ben b'esek ha-mitzvahs. The Baal Shem Tov takes this now into the world of Kedusha. He says, let's talk about in our Avodas Hashem, in the world of Kedusha. So he says that this inyan of Chashmal is Shayach also in the world of Kedusha. Ben Beter, Ben Betfilah, Ben Beisak and Mitzvah. This is also Chashmal. In what way? To Kibalti B'Mariah Baal Shem Tov. So the Talmud says, Kibalti, this I received from my teacher, the Baal Shem Tov. Soid hachna. Soid hachna v'havdala v'hamtaka. The secret of hachna, havdala, and hamtaka. Now, the words themselves, we all know what they mean. Hachna means submission, or to crush, to push away. Havdala means separation. And hamtaka means sweetening. No, I would say 95% of the drashas and shiurim that I've given over the years is about this, although I don't say the words. But that's what the shiurim are all about, chashmal and hachna, havdala, and hamtaka. Because this is the yisod of all of chassidus. Now, hachna, havdala, and hamtaka. What does that mean? Shetzorach b'chol esek taru tefila. That is needed for all of our Avoda in Torah and Tefillah and Mitzvahs and so on. Let's take a look at the Perish before we move forward. It will help us. Tini kibalti mi mori ha-Baal Shem Tov. Soid hachnor v'avdol v'amtoke. Shu seder ha-pulos l'tzorach tikkunu shel dover bar l'mazer v'halos l'kedusha. Now, we were told at the beginning that Chashmal, Klipas Noga, that in this world things can go either towards Kedusha, or they can, if we make that connection and we're able to hear the speech, the words of Hashem communicated to us through what we're experiencing at that moment, or it could go Chalila into the other side. It can go into the other side. So this order of Hachna, Havdol, and Hamtaka is the way that we were taught, that we were given to contend with reality. This reality that we're in is a Taruv, this is a mixture of Tov and Ra. That's what we're in, Tov and Ra. Okay, we're not talking about those things that the Torah says openly are aser. We're talking about Tov and Ra. Even in our learning, in our davening. Even though that's the world of Kedusha. It can be Lishma or not Lishma. It can go either way. So Hashem revealed to us through the Ari HaKadosh and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Zohar HaKadosh, Hashem revealed to us, he gave us this like a kit. instructions of how to navigate our way through a world of Tov and Ra. How do you do this? Like, how do you deal with the confusion? What do you do with this confusion of Tov and Ra? Because that's what's killing us. That's what first happened to Adam and Chava, and killed them. And that's been killing us ever since. And it doesn't mean that you have to die right away. It could take 120 years. Adam and Chava didn't die right away, right? The Ramban explains, how could it possibly say in the Torah, in the parasha, how does it say, "B'yom ha'cholchem in ha'mayis tomus"? How could it say, "Mayis tomus"? How could it say that on the day that you eat from this tree, you're going to die? But they didn't. They ate from the tree, and they went to see a Broadway show. Figuratively, they went into the world. They didn't die. So the Ramban says it doesn't mean that b'yom ha'cholchem in ha'mayis tomus, that on the day that you eat from the tree, you're gonna drop dead. It means that on that day that you eat from the tree, death will begin. Death is a process. For some people it takes 70 years, others 80, sometimes later it's much shorter. But as you all know, death means descent. It means going down. It means being on a higher place and descending to a lower place. And b'yom ha'cholchem in ha'mayis tomus, on the day that you eat from it, you'll die. And that, when you eat from this tree of Tov and Ra, you will become mortal. You will become human beings, the Ramban says, who can die. Who eventually must die. You will become human in that way where you must die. But the deeper meaning of that is that death is not something that happens all of a sudden. Even physically, the person is dying. I don't remember reading about that or hearing about that, how the body works, that the body is, over the course of the years, the body is slowly dying. Death is a process. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us this side, this secret of Hachna, Havdol, and Hamtaka, of how is it possible to somehow to be able to connect to the Eitz HaChaim while living in a world of Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, or how to extract the Tov or separate the Tov from the Ra and live V'Chai, and to live. And live doesn't mean until Tchias HaMeisim, until that time, doesn't mean to live physically forever, but to be able to live a life that is holy, that's pure. So Sayyid HaPula is Tzarech Tikuna Shel Dover Bar L'Mazeh V'Halos L'Kedusha. This Seder, there's a Seder of what needs to be done. Hashem revealed to us through the Tzaddikim this method of Hachna, Havdala, and Havtaka that consists of three stages. It was the way that we're to confront reality where we're confused and we don't see God, not in the glass of water, and not in the death of an innocent person or infinite other things in life, where we don't see Hashem. We were taught to use this Seder of Hachna, Havdala, and Amtaka to be able to live. Shu Seder HaPulus L'Tzarech Tikuno Shel Dover Bar L'Mazeh V'Ha'alos HaLekedusha. Remember, the objective is to hear Hashem's words, is to be able to find Elokus, and in doing so, to bring this around to the side of Tov, of Kedusha. this whatever it is, but to bring it to Kedusha. Hal also to lift it up to Kedusha. Tchila yesh lachnis. So this is the Seder. Again, this is a very, very, very big subject, and it's going to come up throughout the Sefer. So we're just getting the first taste of it, and we'll talk much more about it in Yom Hashanah. The Seder is Tchila yesh lachnia v'lishbar es ayeshus v'agazus shel hadavar. When one first confronts this apparent godless reality that you're dealing with, you first have to crush, you have to break. That's hachna, to crush, to break the yeshus and the gasus shel hadavar. The yeshus, the gasus, the coarseness, the thickness. That coarseness and thickness that seems to be saying, or that is saying, that there is no God. There is no God. Let's just take this, make it very simple. So it's easier to, we're talking about a human being. Imagine that there's a person that's very, very super confident. Everything's going for him. He's got money, he's got the girl, he's got the fancy house, he's got whatever. Everything's going for him. And as a result of that, he has a way of arrogance about him, of controlling people. He's filled with the yeshus, with gaiva, with conceit and yeshus. Yesh, yesh, ani, with a capital Aleph. I. Such a person cannot have a shaychus to Elokus. You understand? Can't have a shaychus to God. Because ain't an evil who. You know, like the Chazal say that there's only one God, and this guy is God. So if he's God, then there's no other. What are you going to do? So he took over God's spot. So it's only him. So this person is in that state, is irredeemable. He can't have a relationship with God. That doesn't mean he can't go to shul, and he could also, you know, learn. It doesn't mean fakir. He could be a person that, with his learning, the learning adds more to his yeshus. He also considers himself part of his success. Is not only am I rich, not only am I successful, and not only am I powerful, I'm also a lamdan. You understand? It's also part of the yeshus. There's no shaychus to God. You can't have a shaychus to God. Because a shaychus to God depends on bit. It means not you, it means him. But for this guy, it's him. So in order for this person to have any shaychus bechlal, to Elokus, he needs to experience hachna. He needs to be crushed. Sometimes it happens through his competition. Sometimes it happens through unfortunate circumstances, things that go wrong in his life, death or suffering or whatever it is. Something cataclysmic, something shocking, something powerful that breaks that yeshus and that gaiva, and that this person is nichna. He becomes submissive. Depending upon how strong the klip of his yeshus is, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And the more work is necessary to break through that klip. Because that person can't have a shaychus to Elokus. In the case of someone who's narcissistic, he can't have a shaychus to anybody. Not only God, he can't have a shaychus to anybody. That's lo chaser. But there's no shaychus to Rabbi Yishlom. Mechlal not. Ein ani v'hu. Ein ani v'hu. Hashem says that the two of us can't be together. Can't be with such a person. So he's filled with yeshus and gasus. The first thing that he has to go through that makes it possible that self he'll be able to have something with Rabbi Yishlom, and that God will begin to speak to him and he'll hear God speaking, is when he goes through that first stage of Hachna, when he's knocked down. It's Hachna. Now, one of the problems with our society that we're in right now, where we happen to be born at this time and live during this time, is that hachna is something which is very, very unpopular. It's very unpopular. Everything's about the self. It's the biggest clip of our generation. It's about the self. And if anything is to just embolden and to strengthen that klipa of the self. So at graduation, this kid's going to be given a reward for being the greatest writer of graffiti of the in the class. In past that need that he had to desecrate the property of other people would have been something that you get punished for, you know, and you. You get sent home and you get thrown out of school, but not now. Now you get a reward for being an artist. So the klipas are thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. It's very hard that there should be any feeling of elokus of people. And you take, and that's why I mentioned a number of times, and I know a few people thought this was odd, because people are in the custom of doing this. When you call a little kid, if he brings you your slippers, you call him, oh, thank you, Tzadik. And I've often mentioned this. But the first time my father heard this, we were someplace, I remember exactly when it happened, and somebody said we were at a simcha, and there was somebody my age was saying this, and he asked the son to bring him something to eat or drink, I don't remember him, and he said, Shkoyach Tzadik, Shkoyach Tzadik. And my father said to me, Atzidkis, what's Atzidkis? By us, if your father said to bring something, if you didn't do it, you get a whack across the head. What do you mean, Atzidkis? Is it Atzidkis to bring a glissa, to bring something to your father? It's Atzadik, it's already Atzadik. So from the time that he's already a little kid, he hears tzaddik this and tzaddik that. He never hears the word Russia. He shouldn't, God forbid, he's not a Russia either. He's not a tzaddik, he's not a Russia. He's a klipas noig, he's chashmal. He's not a tzaddik, he's not a Russia. He's got a lot of potential. But don't tell him he's a tzaddik, because he did what he's supposed to do. The whole culture now is a culture that detests any form of hachna. Hachna now means that you're not legitimizing me. What's the word they like to use? Not legitimizing. Validating. You're not validating me. No, I really like, you know, the way that you murdered those five people was very creative. I find it was very, very, the way that you thought of doing that, you know, to lock them into a place at night and to cut off their supply of oxygen. I think it was very, very creative. And it's really, you have a lot of potential. You know, you have to validate. Everybody has to be validated. There's no hachna. Hachna is something which is very unattractive these days. Very unattractive. That to say that a rebbe, that a parent should say a word that should be interpreted as in any way. We're not talking about negativity. That's the interpretation. We're talking about breaking through something that doesn't belong. That's important to do that. It's important to do that. If you ordered something that you need for the house, you ordered a box of light bulbs, and that's good. You have to light up the house, and you go to the box, and you're about to cut open the box, and the box says to you, you know, I find that to be very negative. I find it to be very, very negative, and you say to the box, what is it? You know, I think you have a lot of nerve cutting me open like that. The response to the box would be, look, the tachlis of this is to light up the house, which is something very good, so people could read and people feel comfortable. And in order for me to do that, I have to be machnia, this klipa, you understand? I have to cut through this klipa. I have to break the box in order to get to the bulb. That's something that has to take place with human beings as well. But nowadays, you're not allowed to break the box, you understand? So there's a lot of light, but the boxes are very, very thick. And if you touch the box and you say, I think you need a little bit of musar, you know? Musar, I think there needs to be a little bit of cutting over here. Forget it. I can't. you're not validating me. Why should I should validate the box? Yes, you have to validate the box. Anything that a person does wrong is good. Everything is kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. So hachnah is the beginning, because that box believes that it's the purpose of existence, and we have to tell the box, listen, I'm sorry to tell this to you, but you're not the ultimate purpose over here. The point here is to get to some bulbs. You're just a box, and that hurts the box. So in the past, the box would deal with it, and through that, the box would come to recognize that there's something very, very precious in being a box. But nowadays, you're not allowed to do that. You can't touch the box. You can't break it open. You can't tear anything open. So you never get to the lights at all. That's just how it is. And it's becoming so insane that anybody that speaks in any way against this or anything that's different than this is seen as being the biggest rasha in the world. Once there's hachna, v'zay niton lahafrid lahavdil ben hatoiv l'rasha bo. Once there's hachna, once there's already hachna, and there's that admission that I'm not it. So now we can start to make our way through this and see is to separate the good from the bad. Then there could already be healing. First there needs to be a crushing, a breaking of the klipa of yeshus, of gaiva, of conceit, of arrogance. And now there could be a healing. It's easier for us to understand with people, but it's with everything. And we'll learn a lot about that. But now there can be a healing. Now there could be eventually this could lead to a hamtaka, to a sweetening. Where we're able to take that which in the beginning was something which was destructive and show that it also is filled with elikus. It also is something which is very good. A box itself has a tachlis. There's something very important to being a box. But the box can only come to that when it's torn open. It doesn't see that at the beginning. It sees itself as being the tachlis. That's called havdala. So first there's achna, and then there's vayavdal ben haor ben achayshach. So first there's achna, and then there's a vayavdal. Then there's havdala. Separation. Klamer lahoitzi legalis is nitzvay tzakadusha hatoiv shaboy. Then you can reveal, you can extract the spark of good, because everything has that elokus. That's the point, that's the elokus. It was until now, it was concealed, it was covered, it's now a world of chash, and now we perform a mila, and we are able to cut away that yeshus and that gaiva, and now it's possible for the word mal, mila, to be heard, and there could be a separation of toiv and ra, and to legalis nitzay tzakdusha ha-toiv shabai. Now this guy that was a big, big tough guy, and was a bully, and he was running everybody's lives, this rich, powerful guy, now we could find in him many, many wonderful traits. Many wonderful traits. And not only that, but even his ability to lead, which in the past was not leading people, he was making their lives miserable, now it could be used as something which is very positive, a way to help people and lead people and to be very effective as a leader. Which until now he was not leading people, he was manipulating people. To be an effective leader is something which is very holy. To be a bully and a manipulator is disgusting. So this person had to go through hachna, he was crushed. Now we could begin to extract, we could separate the good and the bad, and we see that there's a lot of good in this guy, and not only that, and the bad stuff, it's got to go lazozel, and the good stuff, we could even eventually come to the things in the past that when they were covered with the klipas noga, when they were covered, it was like, you know, it led to really terrible things. And now he's a leader. It's great. He's a person that is able to help so many people now. He's terrific. The very thing that was most unattractive and most destructive about him is now revealed in Elokus is something which is terrific. Until now, this part of the person was being nurtured by Ra. And when the spark of Kedusha is separated from the Ra, then the Ra, like the Sila Azazel, the stone off the mountain, and his bottle, it goes to the place where it belongs. It's no longer able to take anything from Kedusha because it's been revealed for what it is. It's Ra, it's bad. And by recognizing what it is, that it's anti-God, it's anti-Lakuz, it's anti-Bittel, it's recognized what it is, it loses its entire strength. It's nothing. It becomes nothing. It becomes absolutely nothing. And then there's an unbelievable sweetening that takes place. There's a transformation that takes place where we see the Elokusness, which is Toiv Gomer Shein Barav, which is completely good without any Ra at all. Because now we have revealed the inner essence, which is Tov, which is holy, Shia Kavan Elokis, Shalashma Niva, which is the reason that this was created, which is Hamtaka, the sweetening. Again, it's not only with people, it's with things, it's with technology. Technology is an unbelievable koyach, but it's toiv and ra. And there needs to be a hachna. Those people go around saying, no, really, technology is terrific. You have no idea how much divrei Torah I see on my computer. You wouldn't believe how much Torah is on my phone. Yeah, but there's a teruvus of toiv and ra. There's lots of toiv that you could get from that, from all of that stuff from the technology. But there's also lots and lots of Ra. Now, if a person's already in a place where he has caused that technology to be submissive, and he's crushed the side of Ra and revealed it for what it is, which is disgusting, which is destructive, which is horrible, which is the antithesis of holiness, can he extract the good in technology? Absolutely. Can there be a Hamtaka to reveal that this is something which is unbelievably holy, that Hashem has allowed into reality, has revealed to us before Mashiach comes as a way of getting closer to Him? Absolutely. But don't go around talking like you're doing that if you haven't been Machniah the Ra, you know, you understand? Like if you're the kind of person that you watch like Torah anytime, and then a half hour later you're watching other stuff, disgusting things anytime, so don't think like you're a Baal Shem Tov Yid. You understand? You're not a Baal Shem Tov Yid. A Baal Shem Tov Yid is somebody with his hachna of the side of Ra, which is all yeshus and gaiv and disgusting, lifting itself up to say ani emloch, that there's no God, this filth, this tumma. To be able to see the hamtaka, the sweetness of what Hashem has made in this inyan of technology, for sure. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was the first one to start doing that. And all he saw in it was sweetness. He saw in this because he was in a place of already Hachno and Havdol was already all finished. And so all the Hamtaka. But that doesn't mean that every single person that's using this stuff, that he's in a place of Hamtaka, you understand? He needs a lot of Hachno and Havdol to get to the Hamtaka. And Mr. Shammu, we'll talk more about that.